It is time for a little bit of bonus content. Yes, guys, it is Saturday, and it's time for some extra episodes talking about the 2023 NFL draft, especially about some volatile quarterbacks that some people are a little bit torn on. We got all that and much more in today's episode of Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you all for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering the Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's bonus episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. As you guys can see, as of right now, it is just me on this episode, but I do have two very special guests coming to join me for two segments. Emory Hunt from CBS Sports and Landon Oliver from the Blue Stable, you know, a bit of a local guy there. They're going to be joining me here in the upcoming segment to talk about two quarterbacks in this 2023 NFL draft that are a bit, you know, a little raw. Some guys that, some people might have them as the first overall pick or QB1, and others might have these guys as undraftable. You know, I don't want to touch these project guys. They suck. And that is Anthony Richardson, quarterback from Florida, and Will Levis, quarterback from Kentucky. So we have Emory Hunt coming on to join me for the first segment to talk about what he likes about Anthony Richardson and why he's all in on that young kid and his talent. And then Landon Oliver is going to be joining me in segment two to talk about Will Levis and why Will Levis, you know, is a guy who can kind of exceed despite some of his struggles here in college. So make sure you guys are staying tuned for that conversation with Emory Hunt coming up right now. All right, guys, now I'm joined by the one and only Emory Hunt to talk about his QB1 in this upcoming class, a guy who I know you guys have a lot of, you know, a lot of mixed feelings about, and that's Anthony Richardson from the University of Florida. He's a guy where all the traits in the entire world, but he hasn't really fully put together yet at Florida. And we can kind of see the ups and downs with the statistical game. But Emory, man, I'm going to open the floor to you real quick. Talk to me about your guy here, your QB1 in this class.
Yeah, he was someone that I had pegged as QB1 back in May. And for me, it was because if we're talking about prospect in the true sense of the term, and you're drafting a prospect based upon the upside, well, both of these highways converge into one lane because you have the prospect side of things, height, weight, speed, arm talent, you know, rawness, and you have the upside, like I talked about, the raw skills. Hey, man, this guy has only played one full season now as a starter, but even what you saw in reserve role last year, you're like, wow, like this dude has it. And I always bring up this game. I always bring up the LSU game because we saw him, you know, have like a horrible pick six early in the game, right? But then after that interception, he had these dudes like on fire. And even the last interception, and this was a high level type thing where, you know, the read was correct. He read the right route combination. He saw the right receiver. He threw it out with anticipation. He just got hit as he threw, which caused the ball to hang up in the linebacker that was in coverage. Made the game clinching interception. Otherwise, we're talking about them beating LSU. So you saw in that small sample a guy that was able to overcome mistakes, not dwell on a mistake, and that's what you want as a quarterback. And then fast forward to this season, you see the guy playing above the X's and O's. And this is not a knock to the Florida scheme, but this is a, you know, hey, he's being asked to do these things. He's not being asked to really just throw the ball like you should let a quarterback do. And when we've seen him be able to throw the football more times than not in a game, you saw him go toe-to-toe with Hendon Hooker. You've seen him throw the ball well against Georgia. But, you know, because of how their offense is constructed, these throws don't come consecutively. You know, and so people will look at the box score of the game against Florida State and say, oh, he was 9 of 27. That's terrible. But when you watch the game, you saw a ton of throwaways, you saw a ton of drops, and you saw some passes that were incomplete, which happens in the game. But if you look at that last drive, tell me that wasn't a dime to the receiver, the freshman receiver, in between two defenders, in which he dropped it. That could have put them in position to tie the game or win the game. I fully expected them to go for two when they got the touchdown. So this dude has the it. He has the coachability that you like from what I hear about him. He's a coachable kid, but has the raw tools that you want to take. That's a guy you take in the first round over someone that may have – I would say this. You'll take that person in the first round over the Hendon Hookers. And it's not to compare them as one-to-one, but Hooker is an experienced guy, played a lot of games, but you gamble on the upside as opposed to the finished product.
Right, definitely. And, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, you've been doing this a very, very long time, Emery, and you're definitely one of the go-to guys when it comes to just college football knowledge and NFL draft knowledge. I know you put out hundreds and hundreds of scouting reports and stuff like that every single year. If you guys weren't even watching on Monday night, he put up his scouting report for Dallas Flowers, you know, when Dallas Flowers had his big return. It's like the only one I saw out there outside of maybe Dane Brugler. So just a ton of guys that you watch every year. And we've seen this mold of quarterback before. We've seen it work to great success. You know, we've seen Josh Allen hit, you know, that 50% passer in college. He's a big guy who can run and throw. And that hit in the NFL. Cam Newton, another guy who could kind of do the same thing, inconsistent in college. But when he got to the NFL, boom, it just lit up. But then we've seen some misses. You know, we've seen Logan Thomas, for instance. We've seen Jamarcus Russell. You know, those, again, the bigger body guys who can run, a little inaccurate in college, and it just didn't pan out in the NFL. What makes you so confident about Richardson that he's going to be more Josh Allen, more Cam Newton than Logan Thomas, or, you know, obviously the worst one, Jamarcus Russell?
Because your eyes tend to tell you the difference. You could watch all three of those guys you mentioned and say, yeah, Richardson is better than, you know, Thomas, who never was that good of a passer, although he didn't get the same opportunities to grow within his game. Like he, even when he got the one throw with the Cardinals, it was a touchdown. And it was like, man, you kind of want to see him kind of grow and develop. Those guys at that time wasn't given that opportunity. So it's unfortunate for Logan Thomas because he's a great dude and want to play the quarterback position. But now he's thriving as a tight end. For Jamarcus Russell, different type of passer. He's more along the lines of the classic drop back pass. He didn't have the mobility. So he was a different type of, you know, quarterback. And we all know situation tends to dictate everything, right? But for Richardson, I'll take him one step forward. I'm glad you brought up Josh Allen. I'm glad you brought up Cam Newton, because one of the things that, and I'll throw Lamar Jackson into this mix too, and people forget, of those three guys in college, how many of their receivers or running backs got drafted? How many of these guys that we'll see for Florida outside of Osiris Torrance, the guard, and maybe Pearsall, who's a junior, but if he comes out, maybe he'll get drafted on early day three, even though he's a fantastic receiver. How many of these guys from Josh Allen's team got drafted? Cam Newton's receiving core got drafted, and yet you saw them just supersede all of that and just play really well, right? That's Anthony Richardson. Name their starting receiver. It's definitely not Pearsall, but Pearsall is a go-to guy because he catches everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's why when you watch someone like that, you're thinking he's doing that without the assortment of pro-level weapons. So imagine if we put him around pro-level weapons. What will he do? He will only elevate his game. And again, at the end of the day, when you have that level of mobility, we've seen him outrun defensive backs that have angles. So already you're going to be a plus one in a run game. Mm-hmm. And two, you like to watch quarterbacks just compete. And, you know, again, watching him throw, even if it's an incomplete pass, you don't see him get down. You don't see him get frustrated. It's just on to the next play. And you want someone that could handle pressure. We've seen him drive down the field in multiple games to either get the score or put them in a position to score. And how often we're able to say that about other quarterbacks that we tend to prop up in this process. You really can't. There's only a few, which is why I was high on Jalen Hurts coming out. Because, hey, man, every time I look up, he's playing a big game or has his team playing in a big game. That's the type of guy I want. And I think Richardson is one of those guys.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, how you respond to pressure is such a big thing when it comes to success in the NFL. It's the biggest thing I've learned over my time from doing this. And then I think the other big thing that I've heard from detractors, and again, just me kind of playing that devil's advocate, kind of pushing back a little bit on everything you're saying, even though, again, I love Richardson, is the lack of experience in college. You know, how do you justify that shot on a guy who you've only seen, what, 12, 13 starts, I think? I think it's just that, right? How do you feel so comfortable in a guy with so little out there that, hey, this is my first round pick. This is the guy that I'm going to build to be the future. Because I understand why some fans and even some teams might have some reservations about that.
Because the peaks are elite. It's not like he had a good game. Like the way people go goo-goo gaga over Will Levis's completion of an 8-yard slant. Like, yeah. Bro, that's a routine throw. Show me somebody running away from defenders from 80 yards away and breaking tackles. You know what I'm saying? Show me someone. The two touchdown throws he had to Pearsall against Florida State trumps anything Will Levis has done on tape. Just those two passes. It's like, man, that was a beautiful throw with velocity, with timing, in stride. The receiver didn't have to wait to make it a 50-50 ball. Damn, that's pretty good. Like, so that to me is the peaks are high. And any coach worth his salt, any GM worth his salt, any, you know, QB coach worth his salt, and OC worth their salt, like, you know what? We can devise a plan. And so it's partly the reason why I thought the Detroit Lions should have taken Malik Willis in the first round last year. And hell, they had another opportunity to take him. Or why I thought the Giants should have taken Malik Willis when he fell to the second round. Because, again, you had a chance to not start him right away, mm-hmm. develop him behind, you know, your starter, and also allow him to fit right into what you want to do. They want to be a run team, off play action, take shots deep down the field. Well, they can't do that with the quarterbacks they have currently. This guy would have been perfect to run that offense. Richardson would be a guy that's perfect to, you know, come in, mold, and build. And when you have the elite part of the, you know, you see it play out, manifest itself with the Chicago Bears. You know, before Justin Fields' play starts to flatline and be consistent, we saw him, hey, rely on what got you here. Rely on your ability to be a playmaker. And as we get the receivers up to speed, you know, combining with your playmaking ability, the offense is going to be consistent. And we start to see them, you know, average 30 points a game. Richardson right. can fall under that same trajectory because he has the elite peaks that you want to see from the position, more so than people that come out with a gang of experience. That, you know, experience doesn't necessarily mean you you are better. I use this example all the time when people say, "Oh, I'm up at 4 a.m. watching film until midnight." Okay, cool. This guy that came in at, you know, 2:00 p.m. and left at 5 still outproduces you. He just probably is more efficient with his time than you are. It seems like you're wasting your time. Seems like this. So I don't care about experiences. What you do with the time that you have, and what we've seen so far from Richardson says he is elite at what he does.
And I just want to give a big shout out to my guy, Emory Hunt. He is just one of the best in the game, and I really appreciate him joining me for that first segment. So if you guys are more interested in what Emory has to say and more of his takes throughout the draft season, make sure you are following him on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. That is a guy that you definitely want to be following come draft season. Now, coming up, we're going to talk about quarterback Will Levis from Kentucky with my guy Landon Oliver of the Blue Stable. This is the guy that you guys have definitely heard about here on the podcast airwaves here in Indy. But first, today's bonus episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Against the Colts defense, Prize Picks has given Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott a more or less mark of 250.5 passing yards, which seems pretty fair, you know? They don't even have the Colts on there yet when I look, so I'll tell you guys that the national perception of this game is fairly low right now. Whether you're picking with your head or your heart when it comes to the Colts, it's super easy on the Prize Picks mobile app. Just pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their stat projections, then you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. Prize Picks offers projections on pretty much any sport that you watch, obviously including the NFL, MLB, and NBA, but even things like cricket and disc golf, which is awesome. You guys definitely should be putting some stuff down there on disc golf. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Withdrawals are fast and safe, and Prize Picks is currently operational in over 30 states and in Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, guys, and now I'm joined by Landon Oliver, a guy you guys know from Colts Twitter, a guy who has been talking quarterbacks quite a bit on the Twitter sphere, and does a lot of good work with the Blue Stable over there. And one guy that he's been pretty high on this whole season, and I know for a bit, is Kentucky quarterback Will Levis. And I know this is a guy that NFL scouts are very high on. They love the traits. They love the intangibles. But I know a lot of people are, again, just like the last quarterback we just talked about, very, very torn on this player. Landon, why is Will Levis a guy that I'm not going to say that you're going to sell the house for, but it's a guy that you believe in and you think can be a good quarterback in the NFL?
Well, really, for me, it really does all come down to who he is as an individual and as a person and the intangibles. It's really what he has inside of him. I mean, we can talk about, you know, the physicals and the measurements and all that stuff. And that stuff's great. But to me, it's, you know, toughness, work ethic. The guy just, I mean, he lives and breathes football. Like, he will do anything he can to win games. He's extremely coachable. He loves to be coached hard. He loves to learn. He's a gym rat. He loves film. I mean, it's very similar to guys coming out with question marks like Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson. Not necessarily, you know, the physical attributes, but we didn't really know what they would be as quarterbacks. But because of who they are as workers and who they are as people, you can bet on people like that to succeed and hit their ceiling normally. So that's really why I'm really high on him.
I love it. I love that mindset thing. You know, one of my favorite books of all time is called Mindset by Carol Dweck. And she, you know, it's the growth mindset that we talk about. You know, Josh Allen had a similar thing to it. He had that growth mindset, which was able to, you know, get him past that area of all those college failures and stuff like that into success in the NFL. But there are a lot of detractors to Will Levis. And I'm not going to say I'm one of them, but I am someone who is really scared of a quarterback like Will Levis because we have yet to see him really put it together in college. You know, obviously he transferred from Penn State, goes over to Kentucky, had a good season a year ago. Like, I'm not going to say it was anything great. It wasn't bad by any means though, but he had a good season a year ago. And this year we've seen that step back. And, you know, for a lot of people who have watched quarterbacks for years, it kind of reminds me of that Jordan Love aspect. You know, Jordan Love as a junior was the guy everyone talked about. Jordan Love, he's going to be, you know, a top 10 pick. And then that senior year when he had some talent leave, he kind of dropped back and it kind of led the NFL and a lot of fans kind of falling on him. Why are you still high on Will Levis despite kind of that drop back here in the senior season for him?
Well, really, like, when you kind of look at the difference between last year and this year, one, the injuries have to come into play for sure. Right. I mean, the turf toe really kind of took away his mobility, and that's something that opens up the passing game for him. It opens up the offense. And that wasn't there this year. So it was really hard for him to play at the level that he normally plays with and to play as loose as he normally plays, being limited, you know, with his mobility. But outside of that, really, it's just UK in general. And it's not necessarily anything about the school and all that stuff, but it's more of, you know, they lost their offensive coordinator now. This is three years in a row now. He's had to learn a brand new offense. There's no continuity there. And then, you know, you lost guys along the offensive line. Now you're bringing newer guys in. Their offensive line took a step back. He's throwing to three rookie wide receivers and a rookie tight end, or not, well, rookie, but, you know, freshman, should I right. say, I guess I'm in NFL terms, but he's got, you know, two freshman wide receivers, a freshman tight end. He only has one really upperclassman guy that he can go to. So all these guys are learning on the fly. And then they're asking him to kind of keep everything on track. And let's not forget that before he suffered that turf toe and that shoulder injury, that team was ranked 7th nationally and undefeated in the nation before those injuries occurred. He misses two games. They lose two in a row. He comes back, beats another top 25 team in Mississippi State. And then obviously we get, you know, the Tennessee debacle there against UT. But it's really just comes down to, coaching. Their offensive coordinator was fired, you know, yesterday after one season. So you can see how that fell apart. And the injuries just really took their toll on this year.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that you mentioned the offensive coordinator changes and all that, because as someone who has kind of watched a little bit of Will Levis, you know, I talked to Wandell Robinson last year. I talked to a lot of Kentucky guys. And for me, when I watch Kentucky's offense, is even these last 2 years, not even just this season, it's so much quick screen. It's like some RPO stuff. It's very
simple ball control.
Right. Very ball control. It's not like there'll be a couple deep shots in there every now and then, but for the most part, it's throws behind the line of scrimmage and throws like that. And I think, you know, you can't really put that on Will Levis, but as someone who is maybe, again, a Will Levis detractor, someone who's kind of not a huge fan of him, how does that make you comfortable with his ability to make NFL reads? You know, because he really hasn't been able to do that much here in college outside of maybe a little bit last year. But, you know, the arm strength is never going to be a question with Will Levis. I think it's one of the most talented arms I've ever seen from a college quarterback. But the just the mental side of it, like you said, I know he's a tough kid and all that, but can he make NFL throws? And does he have the eyes and the mental capacity? Again, not saying he's dumb or anything like that, but to make those like middle of the field throws and stuff like that when he really hasn't been able to do that at all in college.
Yeah. I mean, that is a game or part of his game that he does need to work on. It does need to grow. That's probably his biggest weakness, is that decision-making to an extent. Mm-hmm. But as far as me worrying about whether he's capable of it or not and whether that can grow, you got to remember, coming into Penn State, they used him very similar to a guy like Taysom Hill is used in the NFL, right, where he was just basically brought in for running downs and they didn't really let him throw the ball much. He decides to transfer to Kentucky. So all of the growth you've seen from him as a quarterback has really occurred in college over the last couple of years, or really year and a half. So to have that big of a jump, and I mean, you see his completion percentage isn't necessarily, you know, crazy. He is able to fit the ball into tight windows and make these throws. It's just not asked of him. And the good thing about the offense he ran is a lot of things that they were asked to do does translate very well to the NFL, as far as, you know, protection calls, pre-snap reads, getting his guys into the correct sets. All that stuff is very rare for college quarterbacks to have that kind of, I guess, I don't really know the words you would use. But I mean, it's rare for them to be asked to do something like that at that level. And that's something that he did, you know, outside of Bryce Young. There wasn't very many quarterbacks that had that responsibility. So that's stuff that does translate well. So I think once he gets proper coaching, gets his footwork kind of, you know, reined in a little bit, and he's able to, you know, be coached up properly, yeah, I think the sky's the limit for him. And he's clearly got the work ethic. So,
yeah, definitely. And that kind of leads to my last question I have for you here is, you know, I actually asked this of our last guest who talked to another raw quarterback before you, is, you know, we've seen this mold a lot. We have seen this mold quite a bit. The big, athletic, powerful arm quarterback that's always a little bit raw and stuff. And we've seen it hit every now and then. We've seen the Josh Allens, you know, Josh Allen, Cam Newton, those hits or whatever. But just mentioning some guys where it hasn't hit, you know, the Zach Mettenbergers, the Ryan Mallets. And then if you want to go even more athletic, you know, Tyree Jackson, Logan Thomas, Jamarcus Russell. What makes you confident that Will Levis can be more on that Josh Allen, Cam Newton spectrum than on the, you know, the Logan Thomas, Tyree Jackson, and Zach Mettenberger type?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of goes back to my original point. I mean, you talk about guys like Jamarcus Russell, and not necessarily saying these guys like, you know, Logan Thomas and all those guys are bad workers, but it's really where he separates himself from a lot of people in this class to me is, I mean, the guy's, for lack of better terms, he's a perfectionist. I mean, he really grinds to get everything done. If there's a rep to be done, he's doing it until it's perfect. If there is a drill to be done, he's giving you 100% no matter what. And, you know, history does show us that guys with that kind of work ethic and the skills that he has, they have a lot better shot of hitting and turning in to that Josh Allen. I mean, I don't necessarily – I hate comparing people to Josh Allen because I don't think that's really the comparison that I would use for him. But it's very similar to a guy like Justin Herbert coming out, to where he didn't necessarily have – he doesn't have the gaudy numbers that Justin Herbert has because of the difference in schemes. But there was a lot of question marks about Justin Herbert, you know, coming out and whether he could be that franchise guy. And, you know, you plop him into that NFL level and he gets the NFL coaching and the guy just comes out slinging. There's going to be some growing pains, of course, and there's going to need to be patience with Will. Like I said, he's got footwork and decision-making stuff that he needs to rein in a little bit, and I fully expect him to do that. But yeah, I mean, just knowing what he is as a person and as an individual and who he is, you know, that's what separates him to me from, you know, just your average, you know, big, strong, fast, you know, athlete guy.
Yeah, and that was my conversation with Landon Oliver of the Blue Stable. Make sure you guys are following him on Twitter. I know you guys probably mostly are if you are following this show and this podcast. He is just a really, really bright up-and-comer in the industry, and I'm very, very happy to see you know, what's becoming of his young career here in this industry. So make sure you guys are following Landon Oliver on Twitter, one of my guys in the Colts you know, podcast market. Before we get to our last segment where I just kind of briefly go over these two quarterbacks and talk about kind of my overall thoughts on these two players, this episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you're going to love. Find Think Like a Champion now wherever you get your podcast. Think Like a Champion is a brand new podcast from Russell Wilson and Audible. Russ is a champion on the field, but off it, we rarely know the grind and the path to greatness. Russell Wilson, alongside co-host Harry Wilson and the late Trevor Mawad, digs into how high-performance athletes, artists, and leaders push the boundaries of their potential. Each episode features interviews with Olympic medalists, NFL stars, and business leaders. Hosts will swap stories and share proven mental techniques that have gotten the world's most elite performers across the finish line and beyond. Head over to Locked On Presents for a sneak peek of Think Like a Champion, or catch the full series available anywhere that you get your podcast. Available everywhere now. Audible. Get in the game. All right, guys, so just to wrap up this bonus episode here, again, this is just a Saturday episode. I'm not going to go too far and make this, you know, a 30 or 40 minute episode. But yeah, these are two quarterbacks that I was very excited to talk to these two guys about because, you know, Anthony Richardson is a very young, unproven quarterback. I think he has, what, 12, 13 starts to his name. And he's a guy that I understand why a lot of people are going to be really scared of. And so when I brought Emory Hunt on from CBS Sports, again, a guy I really respect, a guy who's been doing this for a long time, he's a guy who has seen the ups and downs. He's seen the guys like Anthony Richardson miss in the NFL. So he can see, you know, the talent in Anthony Richardson and say, hey, this is my QB1. This is a guy that I'm willing to bet on. Now, I'm not saying I'm there yet. I'm not fully there with Anthony Richardson. I'm not saying that I think he's going to be Cam Newton or I think he's going to be Josh Allen. But the talent is there. You know, I've seen a lot of people these past couple weeks, every time I brought up Richardson, say like, oh, below 60% passer. Oh, you know, he just doesn't look the part, very inaccurate, throws the ball on the ground, stuff like that. Just turn on his film and watch what this guy can do. That's the biggest thing with NFL scouting nowadays. It's not what can't this guy do, it's what can he do? What can he do that is just outright special? And what Anthony Richardson can do is better than anybody else in this class. Again, this is a 6'5", 240, 250-pound quarterback who runs 4.4. Can throw the ball a mile, who has improved with his passing every game this season and starting to look the part of a quarterback. And again, this is a redshirt sophomore starting in the SEC. It's not going to look perfect, but I liked a lot of what I saw this season. And, you know, I'm not super far off from Emory in saying, you know, this guy could be QB1 or this guy could be a really good quarterback in the NFL. So again, I just want to echo the thoughts of Emory Hunt there and say, like, look, this is a guy that you want to pay attention to come draft time. And then going over to Will Levis and what we were talking about with Landon Oliver there. Yeah, I really do think Will Levis is a guy where there are some issues. You know, the footwork is a concern. The age is a concern, too, because, again, unlike Anthony Richardson, Richardson's 21. Will Levis is going to be 24 come draft day. So that is a little bit more concerning. But like Landon was saying, you know, when he was at Penn State, he was basically asked to be the Taysom Hill of that offense. He was a guy who was mostly a runner and barely a quarterback. So he kind of had to start from scratch once he moved to Kentucky, and he's had to learn a new offense every single year. You know, he's had a big change from his junior to senior year, obviously from going to Penn State to Kentucky. So he's had a lot of change in his college career. But one thing that's maintained is that talent. Again, just like Anthony Richardson, this is a guy where if you just look at what this player can do, it's some of the best in the class. He's a pretty mobile guy, not obviously not on Richardson's level, but he's a pretty mobile guy. He has some of the best hip torque and just velocity on his throws that I've seen from a college prospect. And honestly, he just makes it look effortless when he's throwing the football. And just like Landon said in our interview there, this is a guy who's playing in a pro-style offense. Now, yes, he has struggled. He has struggled with this new bit of talent that he's seen this year in this new offensive coordinator. But this is a pro-style offense. It might not be a good pro-style offense, but he is used to making those calls, those cadences under center from the gun, and a lot of different things that they're going to ask from him in the NFL. So, yeah, I like both these guys, and I think both of them are fixable in the next level. And I think if you have an offensive coordinator or a quarterback coach that are that is worth anything in the NFL, you're looking at these two players and you're salivating. You're saying, look, I can fix these guys. This is what you're going to GMs and saying, this is what I can do. I can make this guy work for your franchise. Now, will they work? History says no. History says that these guys will not work. But that is why you pay these quarterback coaches. That's why you pay these offensive coordinators to take guys like Anthony Richardson, to take guys like Will Levis and mold them into potential stars or just potential starters in the NFL. And that's what we're looking at here with the Colts. You know, the Colts are kind of lost and directionless right now at quarterback. And guys like Anthony Richardson and Will Levis, even if they are small shots, could be franchise quarterbacks. And they could be had, you know, wherever the Colts are picking in the first round. So that's why I wanted to put the kind of spotlight on those two quarterbacks today. Make sure you guys comment below in the YouTube comment section or on my Twitter. You guys can go at me, at ZachHicks2 on Twitter, and talk about what you think about these quarterbacks. And you can even say like, hey, Emery's crazy. Landon's crazy. Zach, you're crazy as well. These quarterbacks are never going to make it in the NFL. I want to hear from you guys. Put it in the comment section below. But that's all I have for today on this bonus episode. I hope you guys enjoyed some different perspectives. You know, I want to add some more guests to these bonus episodes on Saturday, so you guys are not just hearing me and or me and Hag or me and Jake kind of give off our same old opinions. I want to bring in more perspective and more conversation. So make sure, again, you guys are following Emery Hunt. You're following Landon Oliver there on social media. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the Locked On Colts channel on YouTube. We're trying to grow that channel. I know, you know, you guys are doing a great job on that side of it and getting those ratings up. And thank you guys for making us your first listen of the day. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys on Monday after the Colts game against the Cowboys.